This is the GOAT Level Podcast with your host, the GOAT, the legend, the hero, Van Pugh.
200th regular episode.
What?
Let's go. Well, if you count all the other little episodes I did with interviews and I don't know, like my special birthday episode from, what was that, 2020? And stuff like that. I'm definitely over 200, but as far as regular episodes like this one, at 200, I'm psyched. And hopefully from here on out, or hopefully once we get to 300, there's a lot more listeners and maybe sponsorships and maybe more high profile interviews. I know I kind of said that when I was at 100 last year, but you know, same habits, same things happening and the same amount of downloads and stuff, same amount of downloads and listeners. It is what it is. No matter what, I enjoy doing this show. Well, you know, I did add Pod Loop and Aaron Stoner to the mix. So that was good. That's been a plus. That's been a help. It's made my podcast sound better. I did have more interviews with my guys from college, you know. Hey, maybe I can get them on the show. For fantasy football, it's about that time to start drafting. So maybe I get him on the show around that time. We'll see. I would love to win another fantasy football title. I think out of my seven teams, I won two titles. I definitely won one in Yahoo. Finally won that league. Finally. After, I don't know, having two crushing playoff defeats in the 2 years prior to that. One of them was because I think Derek Carr was hurt. That's literally the only reason I lost. And then the other one, I don't know. Like, I got upset in 2022 because the guy just, I don't know, just exploded. I forgot who he had, but his team just exploded and there was nothing I could do. It was straight up nonsense. I had a loaded team. I should have won, but it just wasn't my day and it was the playoffs. Can't happen. But yeah, 200 episode. Hopefully, like I said, hopefully I can finally push this thing forward. By this time next year or whenever I get to 300, at this rate, I'll probably get to 300 maybe spring next year at this rate. So I'm excited. I'm gonna keep doing this because I love it. It's fun. It's therapeutic. And it brings out the best in me. All right. Memories. From the last 100 episodes. I mean, I don't even know. You know what? I do like telling the commanders to put their left hand down and know their role. It's fun because their role is last place in the NFC East.
Facts.
I know that is their role, but, you know, if I want to be objective for a second, I got to realize this is the NFL and teams get better. Their coaches got a lot of pride and they got Eric Bieniemy and they got a new owner, which I'm about to talk about very soon, like maybe in a minute or two, but they're headed in the right direction. They made some moves to put themselves in the right direction. Now, whether that's going to pan out on the field, History tells me it won't. But who knows? Who knows? I'm interested to see how things go with, or I was going to say rookie quarterback, but he's second-year quarterback, with a second-year quarterback with very little experience, and Jacoby Brissett, who is mid, but he can definitely come in and win you some games if he has to. Now, when it comes to the ownership change, all I got to say is, Commanders fans, Redskins fans, congrats. You finally got rid of the main character of the Washington sitcom, Daniel Mark Snyder. That was one big step to show that you're serious about winning, that you're serious about getting back to what you were in the 80s and the early 90s. But you ain't there yet. You're not there yet. Okay. But I get it. I get it. Now, before I go on to my, like, before I go on to my little spill, I get it. It's hope. It's hope. And that's all we ask for in life, is hope. That's what drives us. That's what keeps us going. Hope that things will get better. Hope that things will be okay. That's going to get, well, some of you were going to come out to the games and watch the games regardless of what their name was or whatever. But some of you, like, because of Daniel Snyder and all the losing, you just stop caring about the team. So now you got that hope that things will go back to what they once were 30, 40 years ago. I mean, hope is a powerful thing. I mean, I learned that from Mark Manson. But now, I have to tell you, you ain't there yet. You ain't there yet because you still have to respect the bird. And that is the word. Yeah, sure. There hasn't been a repeat champion since my beloved 04 Eagles. Well, actually, they three-peated. Believe it or not, it might have been a four-peat. They might have went 01, 02, 03, and 04. Nevertheless, has been a repeat NFC East champ since then. But that's going to change because they're going to be the NFC East champs again. Whether you last or not, you're going to be looking up at the word. You still have a lot to worry about. And even, let's forget about the bird for a second. Quarterback situation shaky. Defense is kind of overrated. Yeah, you got some killers up front in the D-line. But the DNs are injury prone. And against tougher teams, they've proven to be ineffective. Or just not as much of an impact as they should have. But still the best unit on your team, the defensive line. Y'all got some monsters up there for sure. Linebacker situation is worse than the Eagles. And in the secondary, some underrated guys. I saw that firsthand against the Eagles in the second game last year. Some underrated guys there, but ultimately they can be exposed. So your offense just okay. I mean, got some hungry running backs. I mean, Brian Robinson can hit the hole hard, run over people, runs with power. I don't even know who you got backing him up. I mean, Antonio Gibson, Chris Rodriguez. Man, who else? Like, I don't even know who else y'all put back there. Nevertheless, is a lot of question marks. So until you prove that you guys are like that and are a serious contender, it's still going to be the same thing, just new ownership and a new coordinator. And if things keep going the way they're going, a new coaching staff within the next 2 to 3 years. I'm just saying. But we'll see. You know, this is a start. But, you know, I think some of the fan bases realize that they still got to win on the field. Like, this is great. Magic dancing the go-go is great. You know, him just being so thankful that he's an owner is great. Josh Harris being a local guy and growing up a Washington Redskin fan is great. Mitchell Rails is local too. It's all great on paper. Your little pep rally was cool. The thing 106.7 the Fan had at Old Ox Brewery. I got to go there, by the way. All that's cool. But at the end of the day, this is the honeymoon. You got to win on the field when it's go time. And I don't know if you can do that. But anyway, enough about football, even though training camp's coming up. And I'm excited. Hall of Fame game should be soon, maybe within another week or so. Oh, she walked. Thank you. Because I'm watching the Lynx versus the Mystics. I'm watching that right now. I'll get to that and I'll provide an update when, well, by the time you get this episode, the game would have been done happened already. But so far, the Mystics are losing by 4 without 3 of our best players and a key bench player. Despite that, this is still a close game. Anyway, off to the Nats. Now, okay, it's been a roller coaster return from the All-Star break. So we lost the series to St. Louis, winnable series. That was a winnable series, a bunch of delays. The weather was terrible in St. Louis. No excuses. Still got to win 2 of those games. They weren't that nice. The Cubs series, I mean, other than the 17-3 debacle, both of those games were close. Could have easily won. We won one. We did win, I think, either the first one or the third one. 1-1, definitely should have won 2 out of 3 in that one. So missed the opportunities there. But, you know, we just took all our frustrations out on the poor San Francisco Giants, who on paper are supposed to be better than us, but just random out of D.C. Doesn't usually happen that way, but had to cook them. They weren't ready for combat. Got cooked. One of the games was 10-1. They weren't messing with us. And that was a great confidence boost for our guys. I'm mad. I should have went to at least one of them games because they were playing some good baseball. And then right on brand, you know, this current version of the Nats, they lose to the Rockies. This was a Monday game, I believe. They lose to the Rockies 8-5, 10-5. You know, it was like a 4 or 5 point game, something like that. Just like that, right on cue. But then, I think on Tuesday, there was a game riddled by delays, kind of like St. Louis. It kept delaying and delaying because I was following it. I was getting updates on my phone because I went to go play basketball, but I kept getting updates. And they didn't start till 8:30. They played for like an hour, hour and a half. Then they delayed again because, you know, it had been raining off and on all day. So they finally, I guess they played again about 11 o'clock. We're losing. And Joey Meneses comes up and hits the game-winning home. It wasn't a walk-off, but it was like late in the eighth inning, and that's all we needed. Bullpen did their job in the next inning. I mean, Joey Meneses came through late in the midnight hour. Literally, he hit this home run about 11:40 p.m. 11:40 p.m. Hey, I just saw Emily Inksler. I guess Minnesota picked her up. I'll talk about her later. That's crazy. She was with us. Anyway, he came through late in the midnight hour. You got to be kidding me. Oh, my God. My kickball team practiced, and I didn't know about it. They all cap, bro. They all cap. I ain't worried about them, bro. We're not on the same page, obviously. Anyway, these guys, man. Jesus. Anyway, he came through late in the midnight hour. Joey Meneses, that's why he's on my fantasy team, because he liked that. And he's still arguably our best hitter on the team, even though we've lost a bunch of games since he's been in the majors. Still, he puts in work. He still does really well for us. Oh, these guys, man. Oh, my God. These kickball guys. Anyway, wow. What an ending to the Rockies game on Tuesday night. Then they come back. The only reason I got a ticket to this game, because I was just so pressed to go to one of these weekday matinee games. Because it's just a nice little getaway, little midweek getaway from the stresses of life. And you know it ain't going to be as many people, because people ain't going to take off work and watch baseball. At least most people. That's why it wasn't that lit at the park today. That's why you usually see the crowd shots in these early weekday games, and it looked like hardly anyone's there. I mean, it's a tough time for people to make it. The families, it's too early for the families, unless they're on vacation or kids are in camp or something. And I guess for the college kids, maybe it might be perfect for the college kids, but I guess some of them, they're either in class, they're either in summer class themselves, or maybe they're just busy. Maybe they got internships or stuff, or maybe they're just not in town. Like, the groups I usually see out there during crowded games, it's too early for them. So, but it's perfect for me, because I got a flexible schedule. But yeah, I was curious of how it was going to be like, what it was going to be like to go to one of these early games. It was cool. Like I said, the crowd was what I expected. Not that many people. But it was a fun game. I'm not going to lie. For about 8.5 innings, I just had this disappointed, slightly bored look on my face, because the Nats were playing disappointing baseball. I mean, Colorado's pitcher isn't even all that, but he went through like 6 innings, only gave up 1 run. Are you kidding me? Offense isn't even that bad. And 1 run in 6 innings? Are you kidding me? Then the middle reliever was doing okay. And then fast forward to about, man, what was it, the 9th inning? So yeah, 9th inning. The game looked like it's about over. Okay, it's 4-1. For whatever reason, our relief staff has been locked down. They were locked down. Jake Irvin, that was one of his worst games. Like, he gave up 4 home runs. And One of them was, it looked like it was going to land on the other side of the Anacostia River. Like, that joint was gone. But he gave up 4 home runs. Very disappointing. But our bullpen came through. They locked down. They got people out. And it gave us a chance in the 9th inning where Colorado put in this reliever named, his last name is Bard. They put him in. And after like 5 pitches, I could tell this guy could not find the strike zone. When you watch enough baseball, you could just tell the pitchers that they just don't have the command and they can't find the strike zone. I even found that out in MLB The Show. You know, that happened to me one time where I couldn't find the strike zone. It was hard. The game was just too realistic. And I just couldn't find the strike zone because I had a garbage pitcher. But this guy, I feel like he's better than what he was. But in this game, he was loafing. I swear, first 10 pitches, he only threw 2 strikes. He walked 2 batters, gave up a hit through the gap. I think I covered that he hit somebody, walked another batter, walked one home. Now, once we got 2 people on base, I knew they were in trouble. I was shocked that they left this guy in to walk a batter and then to give up an RBI. I think he might have walked 2 batters. They kept him in until the point where, because to be fair, he did get 2 outs. He did get 2 outs. Like, he got somebody to pop out. He got like 2 people to pop out. No, he got 1 person to pop out and 1 person grounded out. Cool. They thought they was home free. They thought he was going to hold on through this terrible appearance. And then he walks the tying batter home. Damn! I mean, you walked Ildemargo Vargas. He was pinch hitting for Alex Cole, which I didn't understand. I thought Alex Cole had more power and more likely to get a grand slam. But then again, I'm not a baseball strategist. Maybe it wasn't about hitting a home run there. Maybe it was about plate discipline. Maybe it was about getting a base hit. I don't know. But whatever happened there, it worked. Ildemargo Vargas walked and they tied the game and they finally got that struggling pitcher out just to put in someone that looked better on paper. And he gave up the game-winning run, the game-winning hit, the game-winning RBI to CJ Abrams. Boy, I was psyched. I cannot believe what I just saw. Because usually when I don't win the 50-50 raffle in the bottom of the 8th inning, I usually leave so I could beat the traffic. But I was like, you know what? I'm not in a rush. I'm going out to eat after this. I might as well just stay and watch the end of this. We're close enough for me to see a walk-off. And sure enough, I saw a walk-off. I love it, man. And I love to see Stone Garrett in there. He had a chance to maybe hit a grand slam there with the bases loaded. He didn't. He got walked. But it's okay. Won the game. And we weren't even supposed to. What a game that was. What an ending. Pretty much a snooze fest for most of the game. Fantastic ending. I loved it. Man, the roller coaster of being a Nats fan. But at the end of the day, I transition to this. It's still about the future because we're still in last place. The Nationals are still in last place. Despite all that, despite the sweep of the Giants. First sweep in like 2 years. Wow. Unbelievable. I can't believe I'm saying that. That's the ineptitude we've been dealing with. First sweep in like 2 years. And then take two or three from the Rockies in traumatic fashion. Despite all that, it's about the future because we keep losing, dog. And we are so far away from the Atlanta Braves. It's not even funny. So that's why I had to go take a trip to Bowie instead of going to Nats Park to watch the Nats versus the Giants, which they ended up winning to my surprise, or the Mystics versus the Mercury, which was my original plan to see Brittany Griner. She did end up playing and she was okay, but wasn't enough. I'll talk about that later. I didn't do any of that. I went to Bowie to watch some Double-A baseball. Jackson Holliday, the number one Orioles recruit or number one Orioles prospect, shortstop, Matt Holliday's son from the city of the fake. I mean, Oklahoma fake. Young guy with a lot of potential. And then on the Nats side with the Harrisburg Senators, you have James Wood, 6'5", like 240. Also really young, like 18, 19 years old. No, he's 20. Lot of potential. He's hit 15 home runs already this year. The power is already there. He's the number one recruit, number one prospect in the Nats system. And he's like the number two overall outfielder, maybe number four. He's up there. He's definitely one of our only prospects in the top 50 for sure, but maybe even the top 100. So this was hype. Yet still, it was a mediocre crowd because don't nobody care about prospects like that, even with fireworks. Now, when the Bowie Bay Sox said that they had the best fireworks show in the region, I thought they was just saying that just for self-confidence measures. But nah, for real, they got the best fireworks show in the region. Like, real talk, it's really good. But I chose to beat the traffic, so I didn't get to see all of it. But from what I saw, I was like, this is amazing. This is how you do fireworks. I mean, plus they had a little extra to celebrate because they won. They won 5-2. However, the people I came to see, Robert Hassel the third, I don't know, he went 0-3 or 0-2 and then got subbed out. James Wood went 0-4 with a walk. Jackson Holliday went 0-4. So I'm like, these guys didn't even show up. Like, they didn't even play well at the plate. I mean, they barely got any action in the field. So maybe it was just the wrong game. They played 6 games because it's a minor league thing. It's a minor league series. So they play 5 and 6 games at a time. So I just happened to go to the game where both of them struggled at the same time. Sucks, but you know, that's not, you know what? That's my bad for not clearing my schedule to go to the other games, especially that Saturday one where they was giving out Hawaiian shirts and the Hawaiian shirt looked really dope. But, you know, I had somewhere else to be. I still probably could have made that game, but I probably still wouldn't have got the shirt. And they had fireworks again. Oh, my God. Napricia Collier. Oh, my God. Like I said, I'm about to talk about them soon. But it was good to see these prospects in person, live and in person. I can see why they have bright futures. Well, Jackson Holliday, I didn't see much from him. But like I said, it was the wrong game. But he came into that game batting 360. That's unreal. That's unreal. Already out the gate as an 18-year-old? That's crazy. Oh, I also found out during that game on Twitter that Dylan Cruz, our number two draft pick, our number one draft pick, but number two overall, he is going to play rookie ball in Florida. And then he's probably going to be on the Fredericksburg Nats, which is like an hour away. I love that stadium. I love that environment. So I'd love to go see him play. Can't wait. Can't wait till he gets to Fredericksburg, even though he ain't going to be there very long because the season's damn near over. So I'd love to see him out there. I would love it. But anyway, man, it was good to finally see those guys. I mean, James Wood looked like he should be playing basketball.
What?
I think at one time he was playing basketball. But he's a lot skinnier than I thought. That's just to say that. But, you know, he got time to bulk up and look like Aaron Judge. Because, you know, that's what I'm going for. Our version of Aaron Judge, which is best case scenario. And y'all be in trouble if that happens. It looked like Robert Hassel had some ways to go. Brady House didn't even play. I don't know what that was about. But the guys they did have on the field, I don't remember their names, but they balled out. I can see why Brady House wouldn't play. But yeah, man. Like, good to finally see these prospects. I doubt I'll make it to Harrisburg or Richmond to watch these guys again. But I am interested in going to another Bowie Bay Sox game. That was fun. It was cool. It's in a nice area with a lot of shopping and restaurants. It was cool. And the fireworks show is unreal. I might have to battle traffic to watch the whole thing next time. But anyway. I think I've been teasing it. I might as well talk about the Mystics now. So the Mystics, they're dealing with not having Christy Tolliver, Elena Deladon, our best player, and an all-star. No Ariel Atkins, who has been a mainstay in our starting lineup for years. And no Shakir Austin, who quickly emerged as our second best player and our main post presence. Despite all that, still finding a way to win games. And I like that. I'm mad we should have beat the Fever, like I said last show. They weren't all that. And the Fever lost both of the games they've played since then. Of course they did. And then they played against the Liberty. I wasn't expecting to win that game. But see, this is why you can't make any excuses for this team. Because that was a three-point game in the fourth quarter. So they still had a chance to win that game. But too many defensive breakdowns and not enough weapons on offense to compete with a team like that. But it's obvious that this team gives the Liberty problems. Because they came out the gate smacking them all three games. They came out the gate with an 8-point lead in this game without all of our players. So they match up with them really well, and I just don't understand how. So by the time we play them at the end of the season in September, we should have everyone. Got to win that game. Well, it'll probably be a meaningless game, let's be honest. So we probably will win that game. But in the playoffs, I don't see why we can't compete with these guys. I don't see why we can't at least push them to the brink or even win the series. Because we played them really tough. And we've played them really tough. And they've had problems with us, with our team. This is crazy because they haven't beat the Connecticut Sun. They've had a lot of problems with them, with or without Breonna Jones. I think they've already lost to the Sun three times, which is crazy to me. And if the playoffs started today, they would be playing the Sun, I believe. Not good. for whatever reason, they have problems with the Connecticut Sun, but the Connecticut Sun have problems with the Liberty. I don't get it. Whatever, it is what it is. I just know that I hope our girls get healthy and we just make that run to the title game. I mean, I don't see why not. They got the tools. They got the tools to win it all. They just got to put it all together and most of all get healthy. They destroyed the Mercury because, I mean, whatever's left of the Mercury is just Sophie Cunningham, Brittany Griner, still good, but I mean, it's just not enough. It's not enough. Skylar Diggins-Smith, is still on maternity leave. And Diana Taurasi's in and out the lineup. Even then, she isn't what she used to be. So this team, that team is 6-16. They got about the same record as the FIFA. Yet, every time we played the Mercury, we punished them. they just not on our level this time. They're heading towards rebuild mode. If they keep going to where they're going, they might want to get into the Caitlin Clark Angel Reese sweepstakes. Might as well get ready to build around one of them. Because it's over. What they had is over. Even when you get Skylar back, it's what you have ain't working, bro. Start getting ready for the future. And I love how in the Mercury game just bombs away. Now, the way the team been playing lately, it's just been the guard heavy show. It's been Natasha Clow and Brittany Sykes are two guards. They dominate the ball. They take most of the shots. And Tiana Hawkins taking a bunch of shots. She's taking a lot more shots without Deladon and Austin and Shakira. She play a lot more minutes, take a lot more shots. So she's kind of makes that big three of Brittany Sykes, Natasha Clow, and then her. Like, weird look to our team right now, but it's for whatever reason, it's working. And they're playing like 500 ball. They're just maintaining until our girls get back. Now to this game that's playing while I'm doing this show. They're playing the Lynx. And this is a back and forth game. They're winning at halftime. I think her name is it Kayla McBride? I think that's her name. Her last name is McBride. She's really good. Her and Napresha Collier, those two are something to deal with still. They're a problem. Like, they are never an easy out. They may not be as good as they were when they had Maya Moore and Simone Augustus, but those two are a problem, and don't be surprised if they still a playoff series. Or they win one of them early playoff games. Don't be surprised. Because, you know, those two are really good. And they got some good young talent around them. So, watch out for them. But as far as this game, without all our folks, I mean, we've been a better team so far. The better team. Just got to keep our foot on the gas. And Natasha Cloud, Brittany Sykes going to keep doing their thing. They are dogs. They're the true alphas of this team, and it's proven it now that Deladon and Sakura are out. It's proven that they are the real dogs. They're the real alphas of our team, and I think this team is going to go as far as they want to take us because they just – I love it. I just love their attitude. I just love their go-get-it attitude. You can't count them out. I'll talk about this briefly. The U.S. women's national team destroyed Vietnam. Poor Vietnam. They were playing with them. They only won 3-0. It should have been 7-0. But they was playing with them. But, you know, they're about to play the Netherlands. It's on. I think I'm going to just flip back and forth between this and the Mystics game. But I expect them to pretty much cruise into the knockout round. But we'll see. This definitely ain't Vietnam. I can see that in the first 10 seconds of watching this. But yeah. But speaking of women's soccer, what's up with the Spirit? Whoever's left for the Spirit, they've been getting their tails whooped. Just destroyed. Punished. I mean, they haven't played that many games since our girls left. I'm talking about Trinity Rodman, Ashley J-Lo Sanchez, our goalkeeper, Audrey Kingsbury. She was playing with Ireland. I think one other person. But some of our main players are gone, and I can see the difference. The Portland Thorns game, I think we had everyone. That was just the Sophia. Yeah, we had everyone because Sophia Smith was playing. So obviously our people were playing too, and she just went off. After that, July 1st, I was at that game. That was the greedy barbecue game. Yeah. Got cooked that game. That was a disappointing game to watch. I don't know how we tied with the San Diego Wave. They're missing Alex Morgan and whoever else is on that team. The North Carolina Courage, I swear to God, we were ahead of them in the standings, and we had beat them early in the season. And even the second game we played them, we only lost 2-1. Lost 6-0. This was a 0-0 game at halftime. Maybe even a 1-0 game at halftime. And all of a sudden, because I follow Washington Spirit on Twitter, I just kept seeing updates. Goal, North Carolina Courage. Goal, North Carolina Courage. Goal, North Carolina Courage. I thought the game was here. It was there. Oh, my God. Got taken to the woodshed. Got cooked. What is up with that? They got cooked.
He got cooked.
Adrian, you didn't go down like that, huh?
He got cooked.
Man, our ladies need to get back as soon as possible. I mean, seriously, when does this thing end? Like, it's cool watching Team USA play, and hopefully they win. Even though I'm not going to lie, this is probably one of the least popular American teams out there. Just because of politics. People don't like their politics. I don't know. I'm not that crazy over Team USA because their competition's garbage. It just is. It is getting better. I will say that. But at the end of the day, I would rather them win. Okay. I'd rather them win at the end of the day. So if they got to blow people out, they're going to blow people out. I'm cool with that. You know, I'm not going to hate on them because of politics, bro. Y'all need to stop. Anyway, as I was saying, we need to get these girls back soon because it's getting cooked. I hope I can go to the Portland Thorns game on August 27th. I hope by then the World Cup is over and we got our girls back. And we can see Sophia Smith versus Trinity Rodman. Because right now, they're teammates. Which is cool and all. Like, it's like, you know, the forming of the Avengers. But I want to see them faced off. Like Civil War. Like Captain America Civil War. That's what I was looking for. That's what I was trying to say. Like that. I want to see the ultimate showdown. But it's probably not going to happen. They're probably going to be, man, wherever this place is, wherever they are, they're probably going to be there through August into September. Sucks, but it is what it is. You know, go bring the gold home. And DC United just scored in the Leagues Cup. I don't know what the Leagues Cup is about. I promise by next show, I'll have updates on that. And I might even bet on that. No. Probably not. But obviously, DC United's in it and Miami's in it. Messi. How about Messi, though? 2 goals? 3 goals. He's already scored 3 goals in MLS. Already. Played 2 games with Miami. Already 3 goals. Unreal. He is worth the price of admission, obviously. I guess that's why people pay all that money to see him play, because he's just that good. And he's been cooking. And he's just, all them celebrities that came to see him play, that was unreal. When Kim, it's to the point where when Kim Kardashian comes to your game, you know it's hype. I want to say she ain't really a sports fan, but she likes to be at all the big events because, you know, her and her family, they're just really social. They love the network. At least that's what I see. That's what I see from afar. That's how they've gotten so far. They're so good at networking and, you know, getting along with people and stuff, that they're always at the biggest parties and at the biggest events and can travel the world on a dime. I mean, I saw that she's in Japan. This ain't about the Kardashians. But anyway, Messi is like that. I'm glad he's in the MLS. Just missed him in D.C., but kind of thank God, because then I don't have to worry about FOMO, because that ticket was going to be at least $500. But I can see why it costs so much. He is cooking. But yeah, I'm going to keep watching. I'm going to keep watching the World Cup. I didn't think I'd watch much of the World Cup. I honestly didn't think I'd watch any of the World Cup until the knockout round. But here I am watching this. I was watching, I don't know, Nigeria versus Portugal, I think. I was watching Colombia versus South Korea. I made a joke that they was flopping and wrestling. It was crazy. But yeah, I'm going to keep watching it. It's dope. All right, some quick takes. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. CJ GJ. Man. CD Deuce. Arguably my favorite player on the defense last year. He left the Eagles on some questionable circumstances. If the rumors are correct that he was offered 3 years, $24 million, him leaving makes no sense, or it barely makes sense. I don't really like it that he took a 1 year prove it deal with the Lions instead of a 3 year same amount of money deal with the Eagles. The only thing I can think of is I think he was expecting more from the Eagles. He was expecting more security from the Eagles, because who knows what language was in that contract? Who knows what type of incentives were in there? Who knows, like, what the contract looked like after year one? You know what I'm saying? Who knows? Maybe I give him the benefit of the doubt in that, but I still don't like that he left. But he went down with a non-contact injury. Now, I heard that there's no structural damage. It was just like when he went down against the Commanders. Like, we thought it was bad. It could have been season ending. And he ended up coming back after a few weeks. I think that's what's going to happen here, since there's no structural damage. But obviously something's wrong. And immediately I looked at Twitter and see if Eagles fans were going to just be jerks about it, because the way he left and the way he's just basically, I was going to say insulted the fan base, but basically say he don't like Eagles fans. I think that's what I was going to originally talk about, how he just saying we're the worst fan base, like we're just very toxic. It's not everyone, obviously, and we love them, but obviously don't like how he left. Obviously, people are going to be mad because you left under questionable circumstances, that you took a questionable contract. Of course, people are going to be mad about that. Like, yeah. But I guess what really made him mad about Eagles fans, I guess you got to look at it from the other person's point of view. It kind of reminded me of Gab Gowdy, who I kind of simp over. And she's a Browns fan, right? But when Baker left, she started saying negative stuff about Baker. Or right before Baker left, and when he wasn't playing well at some point, she wasn't talking great about Baker. So obviously, with Sooner fans, you got to watch it when you talk about Baker because he's a legend. So she drove their ire. Like, she definitely got Sooner fans on her back. And it's a shame. I was caught in the middle because I really like Gab, but I really like Sooner Nation. I'm a part of it. Same thing. Like these folks are well-wishing. They're nice people. They're cool people. You know, when we were together, we were rocking out. It was all love. But as soon as things change, you know, feelings get hurt and fans turn on you. And I guess, you know, like Gab, CD just didn't take it well. He just really didn't take the disrespect he was getting from some fans. I get it, but it's like the fan base is divided. All fan bases are divided. Even on this CD Deuce thing, even on this injury, there's some people still was wishing him harm, still was happy that he got hurt, still was hating what he said about the fan base and just using it to say, hey, your injury is karma for what you did to Eagles fans. That's not right. That's not right. That's not cool, man. I really want him to do well. You know, the worst thing I wanted to happen to see Deuce was basically for him to find out the hard way that the Eagles were a better team. Like, even though you play well with the Lions, you still weren't going to win as many games as you would have won with the Eagles. That's all. Other than that, I wish him well. He's a good guy. He's hilarious. He plays hard. He's a pretty good player. I love the way he plays. It's just unfortunate that he got hurt. And it's unfortunate that he says all these hurtful things about Eagles fans because Eagles fans are amazing. So it's just... it's just a shame, man. I wish him the best. I really do. And I have no ill will. I hope he recovers and does well with the Lions. I still don't think they're better than the Eagles. So I don't know what he's going to do after this year. Would love to have him back somehow. But it's going to be hard, man. Hopefully personal feelings. Oh, Team USA gave up a goal. So much for them not having competition. They're down 1-0 already. Wow. Anyway, that's crazy. Yeah, that's insane. But wishing the best for CD. Unfortunate that he got hurt. But they weren't going to beat the Chiefs anyway. They're not going to beat the Chiefs anyway, whether he plays or not. They're not going to win the division. I doubt it. Some people are making them the trendy pick, but I don't see it. Jaylen Brown got paid. I was right all along. They weren't just going to let go of a second team All-NBA player. You make All-NBA. If you have a guy that makes All-NBA, you have to keep him. Unless he suffers a significant injury. If you got a All-NBA player, you got to keep him. That's why I was cool with Bradley Beal getting paid initially, because he was third team All-NBA. You don't just let those guys go. I don't care what Jaylen Brown was saying. I don't care what his playoff performances were. I don't care how shaky they were. He's still second team All-NBA and an All-Star. Those guys don't just grow on trees. I was trying to tell Ben that. I was trying to tell my guy Ben that. Like, you don't just let go players like that. And I was right. I was like, if they trade Jaylen Brown, they're going to want a lot back in return. I was hoping that if they were getting reckless and were just going to trade Jaylen Brown for like nothing, I was like, hey, maybe you can send him to Washington. Hey, he's younger than Bradley Beal and he plays both sides of the ball better than Bradley Beal. Like, Bradley Beal might be a better scorer, but Jaylen Brown's a better all-around player. So And he's younger. He's younger. So I'm like, I'll take him. But Boston, I guess they woke up, saw his value, and they gave him, oh my God. I got to look up his contract because this is unbelievable. 5 years, $303 million.
Damn!
Richest contract in NBA history. I can't believe it. If he got that much money, I wonder what Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to make. I wonder what Tatum is going to make because Tatum's a better player than Jaylen Brown. And he's making more than Tatum. So I can't even imagine what Tatum's going to get on his next contract. It's going to be astronomical. This guy, by the end of his contract, Jaylen Brown's going to make $60 million a year. He's going to make $65 million a year. But you know how these clubs are. They're going to find a way to not pay you that much money towards the end of your contract because you're going to be older and the team might not be as good. But if Jaylen Brown's really that valuable, he'll play out that contract and he'll make a lot of money. And he deserves it. He's been good. Sure, he's had his playoff failures and, well, I say setbacks. But he's still second team All-NBA. Okay? He's still one of the 15, 20 best players in the league. You got to keep those guys. You don't just let them go. Now, okay. Prayers go out to the James family. Ronnie James, cardiac arrest. I hope there's not an underlying issue like a heart condition or respiratory issue or something that will prevent him from playing basketball competitively for the foreseeable future. I hope it ain't nothing like serious. I'm just glad, you know, that he's stable and he's out of ICU. Very scary. Must be scary for those that are close to him. And it's just summer workouts. So hopefully they find the issue in that they can get a handle on this and that'll never happen again. Because I know it was scary for everyone involved. And I'm sure he enjoys playing basketball. And I'm sure he doesn't want to give that up. So hopefully he doesn't have to. And that's all I'm hoping and praying for. Just very sad, you know. Just not a time for trolling. Another situation that's just not. Like, you just got to chill, you know. Whoever feelings you have about his dad. Or even him, like, you just got to put it aside. Same thing with CD Deuce. Just got to chill, bro. This is not the time for nonsense. Wishing the best for him, you know. Hopefully, everything's all right with his health and his heart and his blood, all that. And first of all, I hope he's healthy. And that he's able to play basketball soon. We'll see. I guess step by step, I guess we'll get the updates as it comes. Just very unfortunate situation. For real. All right, now to end off. I think on the last show, I went over the history of my NBA and NFL fandom. I think my college football fandom, the history of that is very interesting. Because, first of all, I didn't even watch college football till 2001. So I have no recollection other than YouTube and stuff people say on Twitter. I have no recollection of the Sooners past 2002, at least. So I didn't get to experience the 2000 national championship. I did watch highlights, though. I did watch highlights. Interesting, 13-2. That's crazy. But anyway, man, I wasn't a fan of college football. I didn't even watch college football until 2001. And I started off liking Nebraska because Eric Crouch won the Heisman that year. And that was one of Oklahoma's main rivals. So I guess I started off rooting against them. And then I started watching more and more. And then I kind of start liking Oklahoma once they beat Texas A&M 77-0. Like, it put them on the map in my mind. Because I was like, you couldn't ignore that. 77-0? Even as a 12-year-old, I'm like, whoa, how did they do that? And unfortunately, I didn't feel that strongly about it because I wasn't a full-fledged fan. But it was kind of disappointing watching them lose to Kansas State and Darren Sproles. Very disappointing. And then, you know, lose to LSU too. I don't know how they got in that championship, by the way. I felt bad for them against USC. I didn't really care about that game either. But basically, man, I think I started to like college football from 2001 on more and more and more. I started off liking Nebraska, and then I just started rooting for Maryland/Michigan. Maryland was the local team. You know, I either picked them or Michigan in college NCAA football, the video game. I usually did my seasons with them, especially middle school. I really liked Michigan in middle school. A little bit in high school. I think my last 2 years of high school, I wasn't really a fan of a team. I just didn't care. I just watched whatever I could. And I kind of liked the 08 Oklahoma team because, once again, they blew somebody out and you was just amazed and wowed by it. But then as soon as Oklahoma accepted me into their university, I instantly became a fan, 100%. So I've been a fan since 2010 when they accepted me into the university, and I've been a fan ever since. But before then, it was just a bunch of, like, it was just Nebraska, Maryland, Michigan, and then I just bandwagoned a bunch of teams in high school, and now I'm a Sooner fan. And I've been a Sooner fan heavy. And, you know, all the ups and the downs, and unfortunately, no titles. Definitely should have won in 2017. Like, freak what you talking about. Should have won in 2017. That was one of the best offensive teams in the decade. Almost everyone made the NFL. And yet, on defense, only one real NFL player, I think Big O. Yeah, and maybe Stephen Parker. Stephen Parker's still in the NFL. But other than that, just defense was just not good. Not good. That's how we were in a lot of close games. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. And that's how we lost to Iowa State. Like, a lot of those games were close because we were in shootouts. Defense were getting cooked. Couldn't stop the run. Couldn't really stop the pass. What could they do? But they always did just enough to win us those games. And they were even worse in 2018. Every time they got in third and short, they got cooked. It was automatic. Just forget about it. They had the worst third down defense I've ever seen in my life. Man, I went from talking about the history of my college fandom to ranting about the modern day Sooners. You know, I'm really hoping the best for them. They just got the number one running back recruit in, I think, 2024. It's hard to measure up to Adrian Peterson and Joe Mixon, DeMarco Murray. I don't know. There have been some bust five-star running backs, too, that came through here. Hopefully, he's somewhere in between, and that's all we need. So, yeah, man, college football, what a ride. I love it. The older I get, the more I like it, the more I'm into it. So, and we'll see what happens. I definitely am going to OU Texas next year. Not going this year, but definitely going next year. I need to start making my plans because I know I'm going for sure. For sheezy. Yeah. But, man. Long show, but fun show. It's Mr. Rand Pugh. Hey, GoatLevelTees.com for all things Goat Level. You already know that I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Goat Level Podcast. Make sure you share, subscribe, and get money.